we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program one more time here today on this beautiful Thursday morning. I pray that you are getting ready for a free car wash this week. Our youth are going to be providing free car washes from 10 until 2 at 165 North Grove Street. They'll be in the parking lot in the back of our sanctuary and fellowship hall buildings. And so we want to encourage you to come and be blessed by our young people. We want to train them to serve. You know, we are not only a missions giving church, we're a missions training church. My daughter will be going on her second missions trip later this summer. She's really excited about that, going to a different country than she's been to before. And we not only give as adults, but we train our young people to give, our youth, our teenagers, through a program called Speed the Light that provides vehicles and electronic equipment to facilitate missionaries in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for our boys and girls that are preteens down all the way into kindergarten level, we provide a program called BGMC, which is Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And through that right now, through that ministry, we are providing hurricane relief supplies all the way back from the fall last year for Mexico and Puerto Rico. You see, the storm may have left, but the damage that the storm left behind has not all been taken care of. And so we have a ministry in the Assemblies of God called Convoy of Hope. 100% of the donations that come in go to that, because their administrative overhead is covered through other funds. And so we are still providing hurricane relief supplies to Puerto Rico, as well as earthquake recovery supplies for Mexico City from last year, and I would imagine probably from this most recent earthquake as well. So that's what we've got going on. But we are training our young people not to just be people who ask for a handout, but also are willing to be a blessing to their community. So if you could use a free car wash 10 until 2 on Saturday, come by 165 North Grove Street, and we'll make your car look better than mine. Okay? That shouldn't be hard, but we'll do the best that we can. That's coming up this week. Now, after they get done washing cars, they're going to be having some fun and things like that. So if you would like to have your kids come by and have some fun, they're going to be wet. And so we've got a water slide that's going to be brought in, so the kids can have a great time, and some surprises in that as well. That's going to be setting the stage for our Easter program. Easter this year is on April the 1st. After Easter Sunday services, we will be having an egg hunt for our kids. Now, the eggs that we are going to be utilizing, many of them will have a gospel-related message to it. Some of them will have candy in it, but we want people to know that the real reason for Easter is that Jesus Christ rose triumphantly and emerged from the grave victoriously. So after that, we're going to be having some sandwiches and some potluck foods like potato salad, chips, the baked beans. There might be coleslaw in there. I'm not sure about that. Whatever people bring for that, we'll have the drinks provided, sweet tea, iced tea, lemonade, water, things of that nature. And then the kids will be having a good time as well. We've got some inflatables that are going to be on site during that day. So if you'd like to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God that day, we are a Christ-focused ministry. There are some places that do not emphasize what Jesus did during the Easter season, we can't see a reason why not to. We want to focus on what Jesus did, because it's through his grace and his work that he has made our life wonderful. Now, yesterday here on the program, I was talking about how God sows people, and that you and I are strategically placed exactly where God wants us. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to touch on that a little bit more at a later time, because just as a seed does not come up the same way that it was planted, but it's broken, it's changed, it puts down roots and it sends up shoots that become branches and vines. So you and I, we've got to be in the process of maturing and becoming what God wants us to be. I just want to encourage you about that. We'll talk about that more. The other thing that I want to focus on today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 as we're talking about sowing to the Spirit versus sowing to the flesh. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 today. And what I want you to realize is that the devil never creates a strategy. He only counterfeits one. He only counterfeits one. And so Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to begin reading today. And I'm going to read two different passages. There's a whole lot in Matthew chapter 13 that deals with the reality of sowing and reaping. It is a very foundational passage of scripture for this concept. God is a sower. He is, yesterday we talked about Jezreel, which means God will sow. So Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24, says, "Another parable he, being Jesus, put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Then he said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, if you drop down to verse number 36, Jesus not only provides the parable, but to the disciples, he gives the explanation. Verse number 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness." Okay, focus on that verse right there. Okay, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we see in the parable itself and in the explanation that not only does God sow people into a strategic place where they will be fruitful, but the devil does as well. And specifically, one of the strategies that the devil employs is that he will sow people identified as tares in the parable. He will sow ungodly people into a community where God has sown godly people. Okay, do you see that? Do you see that? He will try and position ungodly people to contaminate the harvest that God is expecting to bring out of a godly community where he has sown godly people. Okay, so where God strategically plants people, the devil will strategically plant others to try and hinder the harvest, to try and choke out the seeds that are sown. We'll see that in another passage, you know, where there is a battle that goes on for the nutrition of the soils and for the hydration of that's in the area, the plants, the good plants, the desirable plants. It is the devil's intent to choke them out. If he can't succeed in choking us out, he will try and contaminate the harvest to minimize its effect or to make it more complicated to harvest that which is good versus that which is bad. So the thing is that when the seed is sown and the seeds are covered up, it's awfully difficult to distinguish between the two. Now, a botanist could do that. A person who's experienced in horticulture, they could identify the different plants by the stalk, by the leaf, and things like that. But for the average person coming by, it would not be until the fruit begins to manifest, the leaves begin to manifest, that there would be a distinction between the two. You know, all of us are born the same way. There was a person that was traveling through a town, and he encountered a man in that town, and he said, "Sir, have any great men ever been born here?" And the man shook his head and said, "No, just babies." All of us start off pretty much the same way. That was a joke, by the way. It was a groaner, but it was a joke. So you go ahead and laugh. It's okay. You know, we all start off pretty much the same way. We're dependent upon our mother. We can't do anything ourselves. We tend to make messes daily. We are dependent upon other people to come and provide us sustenance. But as we begin to grow, we begin to take different paths in life. Sometimes siblings raised in the same household can go different directions. It's not God's desire, but it tends to be a reality. So there is actually a study that was done, and I don't remember the name of the study right now, where it traced two historical families. One of them was notorious for their sin, the other was notorious for their godliness, and how those two family trees impacted society. One was a drain on society in almost every area, and the other benefited society because their children ended up growing up to be successful contributors to church, to society, and to government. And so you and I, we need to realize that even though we all may start out as babies, at some point in time, we've got to begin to decide, are we sown by God in this community, or is the devil trying to use us to bring confusion and chaos and discord into a situation? I wish I could say that this only happened on a societal level, but it can happen in a church. It can happen in relationship issues. One of the things that I tried to communicate to people is when you are beginning to analyze the people in your life, you need to look at them and say, okay, are we on the same path, or are we just at an intersection? I owned a house over in Winter Haven. To get there, you would travel State Road 1792. And about the time that you got to a just outside Winter Haven, the 92 would go one direction into Lakeland, I believe it was, and 17 would go on in to Winter Haven. They would split. Now, if you were coming the opposite direction, 92 would be coming from Lakeland, 17 would be coming from Winter Haven, and you would merge and they would stay and be identified as Road 1792 for a long, long time. Okay? And so you need to make sure that the people that you're interacting with, that they are on the same course of godliness. If you want to see the right type of harvest in your life, you need to make sure that people have the same value of God in their life. Last week, I read an article about Kathy Lee Gifford. She was married to Frank Gifford. She's a radio personality. If I remember right, she was a part of the Oral Roberts World Action Singers back in the day, if my memory serves me correctly. Her husband died several years ago, and she said she's been on a few dates since he passed away, but she made this interesting statement. She said, "I am not going to waste a day, nor am I going to waste an hour of my life on a date with a person who does not share my faith." You see, because my faith is not just something that I do for an hour on Sunday mornings. My faith is very important to me. It is who I am. It is who I am Sunday through Saturday. Her faith, she said, was very important. And she said she was not going to, she wasn't going to date anybody who did not share, who was not on the same life journey that she was on. You see, the thing is, there's people who that you go and you start this dating process with, and you become entangled emotionally. Your heart gets entwined, and then pretty soon your emotions are operating to a greater extent than your reason is, and you begin to rationalize behavior that you wouldn't have agreed to earlier, and pretty soon you find yourself, if you're not careful, emotionally attached to someone who does not share your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be in agreement with those of like faith with us. I believe that's what it's talking about when it says, "Be not unequally yoked." I don't believe that that's just for a marital situation. I believe that that is for a business situation. If you've got a person who thinks it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal in business, and they are a business partner with you, and you tell the truth, you deal fairly with people, and you don't steal, but you bless people, you are on two different, you are operating by two different paradigms. And so the devil, do not think for a moment that the devil is not shrewd. He is very shrewd. And he will try and plant people in the same area where godly people have been strategically planted by God to try and choke them out, to try and destroy their faith, or to hinder their witness. Now, specifically, I will tell you there is a day of accountability that is coming. Okay? God has this remarkable ability, and that is to take what the devil intended for evil and transform it into something good. He can take a wild olive tree, graft the right type of branch into it, an olive branch that is going to bring forth the right type of fruit, and it will bring forth the right type of fruit. Okay? So no matter who you are or where you are at today, I want you to know that God is the ultimate horticulturist. And God can transform any man, any woman, no matter how you got to where you are. God wants to do a great and mighty work in you. He wants to take that unruly. I talk to people about Palm Sunday is coming up here this Sunday. Jesus rode a colt of a donkey into Jerusalem that day to fulfill scripture And one of the things that it specifically says is that that was a colt that had never been ridden. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but I have. It's not easy. My sister had a friend, they're a little bit younger than I am, and my parents were raising Jersey bulls, and they decided that one of them was going to ride this little bitty Jersey calf that probably wasn't much larger than a dog, a large dog, but I mean, I've seen dogs that were taller, but this calf said, "I don't know who you think you are, but I don't want you riding on my back." And so, God has this miraculous way of taming the untamed to where they can suddenly be a productive member in society. So if today, okay, I want to explain myself, because at one time I was making a description on how at Merit Assembly of God, we do not fabricate numbers as attendance. You know, when I tell you on Sunday morning we average between 50 and 60, that's because I can show you the documentation that says we average between 50 and 60. I can show you the documentation that says, you know, in 2017, we had roughly 140 different people that came through with a great deal of frequency at Merit Assembly of God. By the way, that number before the radio program was 77. I know all of those things. And so I made this comment that said we don't count insects. Well, a person heard that, and in their mind, they thought that I was calling somebody, you know, a cockroach or something like that. And that, I said, that's not what I was saying at all. I was saying we don't fabricate numbers. And so in case you're wondering today, I want you to know that if you are alive, if you are breathing, God can transform you from a person sown for demonic purposes or devilish purposes, satanic purposes, and he can transform you and make you, by the blood of Jesus Christ, a fruitful member of society, a person sown for righteousness. If he did it for the Apostle Paul, who was originally the persecutor Saul, he can do it for you. Okay? So here in the explanation, it says, first of all, that there is a day of reckoning that is coming. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But specifically about the people that are sown by Satan, by the devil, to hinder the harvest, there's two things. It says that the angels will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. I've never heard the term lawlessness used on a societal level, a social level, more than I have in the past 10 years. I have never seen lawlessness embraced on a social level the way that I have in the past 10 years. I'm not saying it's never existed. I'm just saying I've never encountered it that way. Lawlessness is not the way that God operates. Jesus came to fulfill the law to the uttermost because we never could. There are people who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is going to be one of the primary indicators of the Antichrist. He will be known as the man of lawlessness, but the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of lawlessness, is already operating in the world. And lawlessness is not going to result in a godly harvest. Obedience does. Obedience does. And so, hear me. There's a saying that goes through society that says this: it's easier to get permission, or it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. Okay? And I want to encourage you to reject that philosophy and say, you know what? I'm going to walk in the way that God wants me to. That's ultimately what is being talked about. The people that the devil will sow are people who operate outside of the parameters that God has established through the commandment of his word. If people refuse to live by the word of God, there is a day that they are going to be removed by force out of your life. Okay? The other thing it says is all things that offend. Now, we live in a society right now where everybody is offended by everything, it seems. You know, I saw a headline last week that a nation was offended because of what a person did with their eyes. They gave an eye roll, and that was offensive at a very high level. Made international headlines because of an eye roll. So I need to explain to you what this is talking about here. This is not about you being offended. This is not about me being offended. This is about things that offend God, that are displeasing in His sight. And He says heaven is going to be an offense-free zone. There's not going to be anything there that God doesn't want to be there. Just the same way as you do not have to permit anything in your house that you would find offensive. Okay? I would encourage you, if there are things that offend you, that cause you to stumble, get them out of your house. If you're addicted to potato chips, stop buying potato chips. Don't bring them home. Most people at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night are not going to get out of bed, put on their clothes, drive to the grocery store so that they can buy potato chips if you've got an addiction to that. Here's the good news for you. If there are things like that that are causing you to stumble, get them out of your house, don't buy them, and you're going to suddenly start seeing more victories than you are defeats. Well, the truth of the matter is, God is not going to have liars. He's not going to have drunkards. There's a lot of lists in the Bible that you can find. There's not going to be cowards in heaven. There's not going to be people who sow to the flesh. And listen, read Revelation. Read the New Testament and find out the things that are offensive to God that He doesn't want to have any part of, and then say, God, you know what? I want to get those out of my life because I don't want to be displeasing to You. I want to be pleasing in Your sight. So today, if you're struggling with some personality issues, whether it's at work, just recognize what is really going on. The devil sows people to try and get under our skin, to get us hindered, and God doesn't want that. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.